This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
It has become one of the most controversial public works projects in the history of Central Virginia, and there's some who believe it need not be so. And it's our new Meadow Creek Parkway. That is the 50-year water supply plan. The new reservoir, the expansion of the Ragged Mountain Reservoir, a big new dam, a much bigger bathtub, and a new pipeline from the Ravana Reservoir, the old reservoir. Liz Palmer is with the Albemarle County Service Authority, one of the folks involved in these decisions and debates about what to do, and she joins me live in studio. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Let's start. We have a whole lot we want to talk about, and in a few minutes we'll open up the phone lines if anybody has a comment or a question, but let's start first with your 101. Where are you from, and what brought you to public service in Central Virginia?
I moved here in 96 from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm a veterinarian, have been a small animal practitioner for about 27 years. My parents have actually lived here in Charlottesville since the mid-70s. They live on the South Fork Ravana Reservoir, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
So I've been coming to Charlottesville for many years and canoeing on the reservoir and whatnot. I got involved very shortly after I moved here. I began to realize that we had an aging infrastructure problem here. And I recognized that in the Ragged Mountain Sugar Hollow system. And I got involved with the League of Women Voters Natural Resource Committee at that point. And for the last 12 years now, I have been involved with that group. And then about 3 years ago, Sally Thomas appointed me as the Samuel Miller District Representative for the Albemarle County Service Authority because of my long-term involvement in the issue.
So this is something you've been involved with for a long time.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you expect when you went in and first started engaging in these conversations, did you expect at all that years down the road here that this would become this huge hornet's nest
of course not. Who could have known? No, not at all. In fact, I had never really been involved in any kind of public activity like this before I got involved in this. And it was just so important. And I look at this community as a very well-educated, relatively affluent community. And I couldn't believe that they were treating their infrastructure and their natural resource as we were at that time.
Yeah.
And I've learned so much by my involvement. I cannot tell you how rewarding it's been. And I would suggest to anybody out there that if they like to get involved in public activity, there are a lot of boards out there that need people to participate.
Absolutely.
On.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We certainly need people to step up and get involved. Mm-hmm. So tell us some of these things you've learned. And let's start with the history of the mm-hmm. system, and if you could demystify some of this stuff for us. Who is the Albemarle County Service Authority and things like that?
Okay, well, let me start off quickly with for people who aren't really familiar with the raw water collection system first, I think that's the best place to start.
Sure, yeah. Go right ahead.
If you think about our raw water collection system as a triangle, with a reservoir at each point of the triangle. You've got the Ragged Mountain Reservoir at one point, the Sugar Hollow Reservoir at the other point, at the top point, and then at the other point, at the base of the triangle, you've got the South Fork Ravana Reservoir. The Ragged Mountain Reservoir and the Sugar Hollow are connected by a pipeline. That's that 80-year-old, old and brittle Sugar Hollow pipeline that
full
we hear
holes,
about, full
yeah.
of holes. The Sugar Hollow and the South Fork are connected by a waterway, and there is no connection at present at the base of the triangle between the South Fork and the Ragged Mountain Reservoir. And there also is a treatment plant at each of those points of the triangle, at the base of the triangle, and there is no connection between those water treatment plants either. That's one of the things that really surprised me when I first got involved in all this. But anyway, the history, around 1900, this community was having a huge argument about what to do about water. It was gigantic. There was part of the community that wanted to put more artesian wells in. They were becoming contaminated. There were too many people living in one spot. Other people in the community wanted to go outside and find a reservoir. If you read some of the newspaper clippings from back then, it's very interesting, big fight. The people who wanted the new reservoir won out. They hired an engineer who went out into the country to search for a place to locate a reservoir. They found the Ragged Mountain area, which was a natural bowl with a 1.8 square mile watershed. It's very protected with forests. But it has a 1.8 square mile drainage area, so very little water gets in there.
Even though it's a natural bowl, water doesn't flow in.
Right, because there's no river coming in there. There's a couple of small creeks, but no river.
And for folks who don't know, this is the Ragged Mountain Natural Area. It's right sort of near the intersection of 29 and 64.
Right. So anyway, we put it there. We built a pipeline over to O'Hill, because you have to have it up high to distribute to the rest of the, to distribute to the city. And life was working well. The tax rate actually, I think it almost doubled at the time, but then there was a big wonderful situation because we got to repeal the bathtub tax, because there actually was a tax on bathtubs at the time. So anyway, life was working well, and then they realized that they didn't have enough water. And so they hired another engineer to go out and try to find a place to get water to fill this wonderful natural bowl that they had purchased. And the engineer went out, they looked at the Meacham River, it was too full of sediment. They looked at the South Fork Ravanna River, it was too turbulent also. They found the Sugar Hollow, the Mormons River at that time, which was absolutely perfect. It was clean, it was a high elevation so that you could, bring the water to Ragged Mountain via gravity.
It was coming right off the Blue Ridge.
Yeah. It has about a 17 square mile watershed. So it had the perfect water transfer capacity for the population at the time. It was a great choice.
And that was to collect water there at the foot of the Blue Ridge and then pipe it into the existing bathtub at Ragged Mountain.
Correct. And so what they did was, and you can imagine what kind of public works program this was in the 1920s. They built a 15-mile pipeline from the Mormons River over to O'Hill with a weir box right at the 13-mile point, which is the Ragged Mountain Reservoir, where they dump the excess water into the Ragged Mountain Reservoir when they weren't, delivering it directly to O'Hill. And this, again, worked beautifully until the 1940s, when they said, gee, we have too many people here. We need more water storage, because Charlottesville's got lots of rain. We just don't have enough storage capacity. So at that point, they said, oh, let's put in the Sugar Hollow Reservoir. So that did us for another 20 years. And then in the 60s...
You mean the South Fork Reservoir?
I'm sorry, the Sugar Hollow Reservoir they put in the 40s.
Gotcha.
So they built a dam on the Mormons River.
So they weren't just piping it down from the Blue Ridge, they actually collected it there as well then.
In the 40s.
Yeah.
In the beginning, they just had an intake at the Mormons River.
Got it. Okay.
And they just delivered right over to O'Hill. But by the 40s, we had too many people. And rather than increase the size of the dam at Ragged Mountain, they decided to make a dam at Sugar Hollow. So that worked for another 20 years, at which point we hired another engineering firm, and they went out and decided that the best place to collect the water for the next whatever years was the South Fork Ravanna River. This is a much different river than the Mormons River. It is it drains about a 250, 260 square mile drainage area. There's a lot of water coming into there. We get a half an inch of rain and it just fills that up. But also with that comes a lot of sediment.
Yeah.
So they built the dam there. We now have a 7.5 mile long run of the river reservoir. So if you compare a 7.5 mile run of the river reservoir to the natural bowl at Ragged Mountain that just has a couple little creeks in it, you can see that they have very different characteristics. Now, Shortly after that, everybody said, well, gee, the South Fork Ravana Reservoir is going to sediment in, and maybe we ought to do something about that. Maybe we ought to
dredge it.
Well, no. Actually, interestingly enough, it wasn't really thought about dredging it at that time. What they did was, in the 80s, was purchase through condemnation, of course you've heard, the Buck Mountain land. And what they decided they were going to do was dam up Buck Mountain Creek. And then that was going to back up, and that was going to be their next reservoir. Now,
so then we'd have four.
Yeah.
Then we'd have, we're
just
talking,
keep going around putting in new reservoirs.
We're talking with Liz Palmer of the Albemarle County Service Authority. So in the 80s then, the idea was Buck Mountain would be the new reservoir.
Right, right. And when in the 90s, when we really got down and said, okay, we got to do a water supply plan now because we're looking at that of our safe yield, which is the water that we need for the worst drought on record, kind of crossing lines with our demand.
Yeah.
So we were running out of water. We were getting there. We're at the point where we had to think about it because it takes many years to do a water supply plan. So in the 90s, that's when I got involved in this. And there was a lot of talk about Buck Mountain. At that point, I said, well, wait a minute, why don't we just dredge the South Fork Ravana Reservoir? And so did many, many other people at that time. What we did in the 90s was we started with 32 alternatives.
Wow.
I mean, they looked at everything.
And that's when Buck Mountain was still on the table before the spiny mussel.
Before the spiny mussel.
Yeah.
The spiny mussel's an interesting story. What happened with Buck Mountain was partially the spiny mussel, which, you know, was always a question. But the other thing that happened was that we learned an awful lot more about what damming up a river means to a river. We started getting a lot more information on the aquatic health and what withdrawal of water does. And what it does to the long-term health of the river, and therefore the sustainability of that particular resource.
Right.
And it became it became not a good thing to try to dam up a river. It was frowned upon by the regulators. It was frowned upon by certainly the environmental community and many others. And so what you had to do was go and try to find some other way to find water. So it wasn't just the spiny mussel. It was don't dam a river.
We don't need another bathtub somewhere. We need to work with what we got.
Work with what we got. Or what we have in Charlottesville is this, you know, when you think about the foresight that the city had at the time that they bought Ragged Mountain, it's really incredible. That is, not very many communities have a natural bowl like that.
Right near the urban center.
The urban center that has such a small drainage area where you can put a dam in and you're not damming up a river. And so
the challenge just becomes filling it up then.
The challenge becomes filling it up and filling it up from a reasonable source.
Right.
And so anyway, we went through these 32 alternatives. And one of the things that we had to do in all this was figure out, before we could choose one of those alternatives, we had to figure out how much water we needed. And that is a demand analysis. The demand analysis is a formal process that is regulated by the DEQ. You either have to follow methodology that's put in the American Water Works, put out by the American Water Works Association, or there's a handbook of civil engineering, Society of Civil Engineering, that gives protocol for figuring out a demand analysis. You use historic data. You also try to look at forward trends in doing that. We went through that process, and in the late 90s, it was challenged by my group quite a lot. We had a lot of discussions about the demand analysis and was it a reasonable thing that they did? And then it was revised in 2004, I believe.
We're talking with Liz Palmer of the Albemarle County Surface Authority. That's a critical part of this formula.
Critical.
Because that'll tell you then
how much
bathtub you need.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big issue here. And that has been something that has been criticized a lot in the press and by the opponents of the water supply plan. So anyway, I think the quickest way to describe the demand analysis, or is, you know, we do rely on historic data, and that's been a criticism, because we do use less water than we used to when we used to use per capita.
Right.
But it's very interesting that when you compare our demand analysis with other demand analyses around the state, because there's a lot of other communities doing this, we're actually considerably lower on the per capita basis than almost all the other communities in Virginia. What we do is we figure out how much water we're going to need in 50 years. So what's the population going to be? That's a guess. What's the business going to be? A guess. How many hospitals are we going to have? How many, you know, if we become the, you know, the beer capital of, you know, of the South.
It all
goes
into a formula,
like
right?
It all goes into a formula. And we had a reasonable amount of data, but not an incredible amount of historic data. I mean, you know, when you think about pre-computers, you didn't keep a lot of that stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, we ended up doing an aggregate number on a per capita basis, projecting what we thought industry would look like, what we thought commercial, restaurant, hospitals, all those things would look like. We came up with, for the county, 93 gallons per capita per day, and for the city, I think it was 108.5. Now, if you look at what the average is for other communities in Virginia, it's up around 140. If you look at some place that, for instance, has a lot of apple production and processing, you might be 250, 280. So that gives you a relative idea of what other communities are doing. And the DEQ, interestingly enough, has said that they consider us a very efficient users of water.
They're impressed by
us. They're impressed by us. So I think that's really great. The point is, we don't know what's going to happen in 2055. We really don't. We do our best guess. And that's really what we came down to with all the fighting on the demand analysis in 1999, I think, is when we had our big thing over the demand analysis.
Yeah. So then that number comes in and tells you what kind
how much storage we need.
How much storage you need, which then leads to discussion of a water supply plan.
Right.
And that's where we're going to go next after this break for local news and weather. We're talking with Liz Palmer of the Albemarle County Service Authority. You're listening to Charlottesville right now. It's 38 minutes after 5 o'clock, 22 before 6. This is Charlottesville right now. Gemma, can you hear me whining? 68 degrees in Central Virginia. Hope you're enjoying your Wednesday afternoon. My name is Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville right now. News Radio 1070 WINA. Join me tomorrow on the program. Architect Dan Bluestone going to break some news about Paul McIntyre. Something you never knew about Paul McIntyre. Let's rejoin the conversation with Liz Palmer. She's a member of the Albemarle County Service Authority, and she has been involved for many years in the discussions about our water supply plan. I describe you as a proponent and a supporter of the existing 50-year water supply plan, this new reservoir, the new Ragged Mountain Reservoir. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Because you were one of the people that helped to create this plan.
Sort of.
So what exactly is the plan?
Okay. So the water supply plan, again, is a 50-year water supply plan to meet the demands in 2055, demands of the people and the demands of the river to maintain the aquatic life in the river. So there's two objectives of the 50-year plan. And this involves all the infrastructure that we're going to need over the next 50 years. A large percentage of it is actually replacing aging infrastructure, and over 50% of the cost is actually for replacing aging infrastructure. But the heart of the plan is to enlarge the Ragged Mountain Dam to meet that demand analysis, a new dam, excuse me.
Build a new dam. More water in that bowl.
And you're going to fill that with a new pipeline that will replace the Sugar Hollow pipeline. And that, remember when I was talking about the triangle, it is at the would connect the base of the triangle from the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir to the Ragged Mountain Reservoir. It would also connect the two treatment plants, which increases our efficiency dramatically and saves a lot of money in that we won't have to enlarge one treatment plant versus the other.
Right.
And that's actually a very large savings.
We're talking with Liz Palmer. And let me ask you.
Go ahead. Can I ask you one more thing?
Absolutely. No problem.
The other thing is that I didn't say in the beginning, this is actually very interesting. When we built the Ragged Mountain, the Lower Ragged Mountain Dam in, I think it was 1908 or something like that, but early 1900s.
I've seen the pictures.
You've seen the pictures. Interestingly enough, we hired an engineer to design that, and we hired another firm to actually build it. We found out after we built that, and this is written in a report written by the engineer that designed the dam, that we did not build that dam to specifications. And we not only did we not build the spillway large enough, in fact, it's only a fraction of what it needed to be, but there's some question whether it was actually ever properly moored to the underlying rock, and I probably ought to have an engineer describing that, but and I apologize
so
if I got this
It might be
wrong.
A crappy dam. In other words, it might be a crappy dam.
It very well may be. So for the until the 30s, we never even filled that dam all the way. We filled it halfway. Then in the 30s, we came and they put an embankment on the front of it, and they didn't actually pack the dirt properly, certainly within specifications that we would do today. And so now it is not considered safe in an earthquake, and it is not considered safe in a large hurricane like Camille or something like that,
yeah,
if that came through. So it's considered a dangerous dam. We have a temporary permit to operate that dam, and every hurricane season we have to draw that dam down. So this water supply plan replaces that dam. And that was one of the issues in doing the design of the water supply plan, was to incorporate the things that we needed to do with respect to aging infrastructure. And when you look at the cost of the dam, when you make a conservative actual look at the cost of the cost of the whole water supply plan, about 50% of the plan is to replace aging infrastructure.
That is way beyond the time that it needs to be replaced.
I think so.
Yeah. Liz Palmer with the Albemarle County Service Authority. So we hear so much talk about dredging. Let's dredge. Why aren't we dredging? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this? Because I hear from people all the time, well, we could have dredged and that would have been, you know, we wouldn't have necessarily got to the exact figure in the demand analysis, but that's overrated anyway. And we need to dredge. And it was taken off the table because this Gannett Fleming said it was going to cost $1 billion. And it's not going to cost as much money as they thought. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it was actually, we worked on, my group of the League of Women Voters Natural Resource Committee worked on this dredging issue for several years, and we really fought for some dredging, and so we got a lot of information on that. A lot of citizens participated in that. We had several meetings in the late 1990s. We actually had the City Council and the Board of Supervisors and the Ravana Water Sewer Authority in on a joint meeting at Monticello High School during that period of time on this whole subject. But anyway, the dredging the South Fork Ravana Reservoir does not meet the needs of the demand analysis for the 2055 timeline. And the problem is that you have to combine it with another alternative. And when you combine it with the Ragged Mountain Reservoir, let's just say we went and we dredged the reservoir right now.
South Fork.
The South Fork. I have to make sure I say the reservoir I'm talking about.
Three bathtubs,
The South Fork Ravana Reservoir back to about 85% of its original capacity, which is what they say we probably can get to realistically. According to a 2002 bathymetric study, which shows the volume, so we've had some sediment from 2002 to 2009, but according to those figures, we could lower the Ragged Mountain dam height by about 5 feet. It was a 45 increase, and we could take it down by about 5 feet. Now,
so remember, you can dredge all you want, if I hear you right. You can go into the South Fork and dredge all you want, spend all the money you want on dredging, but you're still going to have a bigger bathtub at Ragged Mountain.
Correct. And because it is a natural bowl, most of the storage, you're storing more water in the upper levels of the reservoir. And most of the cost of a dam is in the lower portion of the dam. It's in the base of the dam.
It's not in the actual height as you get higher.
Right, right. And so you have to, if you look at the cost of storage of a gallon of water as you go up, then you can compare that with the cost of that water storage gained through dredging. And when you do that, even the most optimistic dredging cost, you still come out with cheaper water in the Ragged Mountain Dam, in the new Ragged Mountain Reservoir. So you don't get enough water. The other thing about dredging is that you've got a 7.5 mile long run-of-the-river reservoir.
At South Fork. Yeah.
At South Fork, going through a lot of suburban area. So you're talking about an industrial operation in a suburban area. You have constraints on when you can dredge. For instance, you know, if you're doing a large dredging operation, there are more constraints on when you can dredge, when things are spawning, if there's ice in the reservoir.
Let me ask you this, Liz. We've heard, and we're going to the phones here.
Okay.
Phone lines are open, and we'll go to the phones in just a minute. We've heard that the folks on the Albemarle County Surface Authority they just don't want us to know all the facts about dredging, and that they're afraid that we're going to know the truth about dredging, that it really is a way to save a lot of money and that we won't have to pay as much for our water. Is that true?
No, it's not true at all. What we feel is, though, we had the Gannett-Fleming study. And if you look at the parts of the Gannett-Fleming study, we always hear this, oh, it was $200 million or whatever, and that's a crazy amount. But if you look at the parts of it and the way that they did the study, you can get enough information from that to get an idea of what dredging is going to be like. But you still go back to the fact that you're not getting enough water out of that, and you've got to combine it with another alternative. And then you compare the cost of storage in one with the cost of storage in the other. And that's your important fact there. I think that the demand analysis, we talked about that earlier, I don't think that that was overblown at all. I think that it's a reasonable number. And when we compare it with other communities in Virginia, we're very conservative with that.
My guest live in studio is Liz Palmer, a member of the Albemarle County Service Authority. Let's go to the phones at 977-1070. Dee Dee's been waiting very patiently on line one. Dee Dee, you're on with Liz. You go right ahead.
Hi, Coy. Hi, Liz. Liz
Hi.
And I know each other. I am one of those people who has a problem with the demand analysis, and particularly since the data that was used to generate that analysis, it was old data, it was historic data that used the water use when it was at an all-time high. It only goes to 2001, and since that time, our water use has declined 20%. In fact, if you look at the demand analysis report, and the Gannett-Fleming predicted that our use would have gone up since that time, and we're 25% below what this plan is based on, because this plan did not factor in conservation, except for about 5%. We are now 25% due to conservation, due to enhanced technology, due to any number of reasons, and we haven't even begun yet to see the savings. We are still flushing our toilets with treated drinking water. We're still watering our lawns with treated drinking water. I can guarantee you we will not be doing that in 50 years. So this is my problem, is that this is an oversized, overpriced plan, and there is no reason why this community should be burdened, particularly the ratepayers, who are the only ones who are going to be paying for this, should be burdened with a $200 million project that is based on faulty data. That's my problem.
Do you have a question for Liz?
I would like to know how Liz can reconcile the data that has changed so dramatically and still stand by the demand analysis.
Dee Dee, thank you for the call. So again, it's criticism of the demand analysis, which is, again, for folks who are just joining us, that's the study that says this is how much water you need in 50 years.
Okay, well, thank you, Dee Dee. I agree with you that we have gotten a lot more efficient with our water use. It is, again, we do not know what 2055 is going to bring. We don't know if our population figures are correct. We did do some forward-looking at the demand analysis, and I think it was 2004 or 2005, I guess, that we lowered that a little bit. But when you look at, we have to go by a methodology that's put out by the American Water Works Association or the American Society of Engineers.
Legally, so this is when you do a demand analysis.
Legally, we have to do this. And there are guidelines that we go by. And again, as I repeated before, our figures, when what they have is they have recommended figures per person per day. They have recommended for light industry. They have recommended numbers for heavy industry, hospitals, all that kind of stuff.
And you just count the number of categories you have.
And you count the number of categories that you have, and you try to say, what we've said is, well, we don't really think we're getting a lot of heavy industry here. We think we're going to be dealing predominantly with hospitals and restaurants and light industry, maybe bottling companies. We do have some bottling companies. That's one of the reasons why the city numbers are higher than the county numbers, is because they have more, you know, hospitals, restaurants, all those kinds of things. They have a bottling company. So what we're trying to do is predict for 2055. And again, we have numbers of 93 gallons per capita per day for the county. That's an aggregate number of everything we could possibly use in a day. If I'm going to the hospital, if I'm going to the restaurant, whatever, and 108 for the 108.5.
And as you said earlier when we were talking about this, you believe that our numbers that we have in this demand analysis are conservative.
The average is 142.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. We're talking with Liz Palmer of the Albemarle County Service Authority. Kevin is online too. Kevin, you're on with Liz. Go right ahead.
Hey, well, I wanted to make a couple points about demand. First of all, I think Dee Dee is absolutely right. The numbers that are that we're seeing today are absolutely going down, and that's something that was ignored in 2004 when another look was taken at the demand numbers. Since 2001, we've been declining. Actually, since 1999, I think, was the high point. And at the time, the consultants chose to ignore the fact that even when they did their previous demand study, the trend was downward. Now, getting to this point about are we more efficient than the rest of the state, if you look closely at the demand analysis, there's another problem with it, and that is that the number of students at the university get included twice. In other words, when they figure out demand, they take the county demand and figure out how much is being distributed by the service authority. Then they look at and divide that by the county urban population. And they take the city demand, or the amount of water being used in the city, minus the city population. And then they take the university demand, which is fairly significant, and divide that by 20,000 university students, neglecting, of course, that those university students live in either the city or the county. So, in effect, what they're doing is they're, if you look at the amount of gallons of water divided by residents, they're putting another 20,000 people in the denominator, which makes us look like we're more efficient than we really are. We're really not that efficient.
Kevin, let's give Liz a chance to respond, and we've got a lot of people on the line we want to get to. I appreciate the call. A quick response, and then we'll go back to the phones.
A couple of things really quickly. The 2002 was the worst drought on record. 2003, we had the highest rainfall we've had in many, many, many years. So those were 2 years that were kind of thrown out because they were anomalies. In the demand analysis, we are not allowed to put drought restrictions in there in our calculations, and that is required by law. We're not allowed to do that. We have been in and out of drought and several times in the last few years.
So it's hard to count those years. Yeah.
We've had drought restrictions. And every time we have put in place drought restrictions, this community responds beautifully. And those numbers drop right down. And we should be very proud of ourselves for doing that.
Absolutely.
With respect to UVA, I have talked to the person from the DEQ. I'm trying to talk fast. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
The person from the DEQ that dealt with the demand analysis, and he has reconciled that. He does not think that we have counted those students twice. So that's a professional opinion on that criticism.
We're talking with Liz Palmer of the Albemarle County Service Authority. Let's go back to the phones. Martha waiting patiently on line 3. Martha, you're on with Liz. Go right ahead.
Right, thanks for taking my call. I have a comment and a question. I fully support the approved water supply plan, and I appreciate the positive things David Brown has expressed about the plan in City Council. My question is, Liz, could you please talk a little bit about the mitigation plan for the Ragged Mountain Reservoir? I hear it's an excellent plan, and we haven't heard enough said about it.
Martha, thank you for that. Real quick, the mitigation.
Okay,
thank you. Because we're going to, the plan would require the expansion of Ragged Mountain, the bowl there at Ragged Mountain, going to have to cut down a lot of trees so you can put more water in there.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Martha, for that question. And I will agree with you that David Brown has been very, very helpful. The mitigation plan, what happens when you put in a new dam? You will, you'll dam it. You'll cut down trees. You'll inundate streams, the small streams in Ragged Mountain area. So we have a mitigation plan that actually takes the Buck Mountain land that we purchased years ago and puts permanent riparian protection on that. We're doing 75,000 linear feet of streams on the South Fork Ravana watershed in that Buck Mountain area. We're putting in buffers and whatnot. We're providing for 200 acres of new riparian forest and wildlife habitat.
Will that be a park?
No.
Or a natural area? Or
what it's going to be, there will be conservation easements on there, and Ravana has not decided how they're going to deal with that land. I mean, there's, you know, it was taken for a reservoir. There are a lot of people out there that would like to see that back in private hands. And so I think that once we get through the mitigation plan, we've got to look at that. And I have no idea how we're going to deal with that at this point.
We're talking with Liz Palmer of the Albemarle County Service Authority. We've got time for one more question, and Bruce has been waiting very patiently on line one. Bruce, you're on with Liz. Go right ahead. Bruce.
Yep, I lost Bruce.
We lost you. We could try Kevin again on line two. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bruce, you go right ahead. Sorry.
I was just talking about the other lady just got to calling. All this property is bought and preserved. How much is Lisa embedded with Mike Gaffney, which is a developer, and how much the developers is going to get off of this? All this extra money and all this extra development running this pipe right through there, and I'm sure that they've got their eye on developing some of that property. Is she familiar with that?
I'm not totally sure I understand the question. I think you're asking about the Buck Mountain land and if developers are going to get the Buck Mountain land.
Yeah, well, Mike Gaffney is always into developing. He has a lot of interest. He's trying to run a pipeline down to Scottsville. So he can have some land that he can develop, but that didn't happen. So
Bruce, thank you for the call. This whole idea of development, and we've heard some criticism of this plan that it's, you know, taxpayers are subsidizing development. We need more water so the developers can build more neighborhoods, and we're all paying for that.
Okay, so quickly, most of the water supply plan, again, goes to repair of aging infrastructure, most of the cost of it. And you know, this growth versus no growth question is a big issue. We at the Service Authority have capacity and connection charges when people come onto the system that we try to cover the cost of the new infrastructure as best we can, so that the old customers are paying for, you know,
existing
repair
stuff,
and existing stuff, whereas new customers are paying a capacity charge to get on the system.
We certainly didn't have time for all we wanted to get to. We'll have to have you back. Liz Palmer with the Albemarle County Service Authority, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.